Good morning. All right. I want to share today's devotion on from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 21 through 26. And so today's devotion is on prayerful guidance. I've been doing a study through the book of Acts on prayer. And so this is one of the lessons that I've learned from that reading, and come to realize that in moments of guidance and uncertainty in our lives, we have the promise of the Holy Spirit to guide us and counsel us into making decisions that glorify God. But there's something that is required of us, and that is a surrender to wanting to know God's heart and to obey. That there is a process of seeking, which is praying, of asking, Father, what are you doing? Father, what are you saying? And then the listening and the obeying, which is, how do I respond to what you are doing and to what you are saying? And so before I get into the passage, I want to just share the context of what's happening in this passage is that the disciples, the apostles, they're waiting for the arrival of the Holy Spirit. And they've been continually in prayer. The Bible says that they were in the upper room just praying continually, united in prayer. And then in the midst of that, the topic of Judas is brought up by Peter. And he makes a case through scripture that about Judas's downfall and the need to replace Judas. And so I like this verse here because it gives us a glimpse into their decision process. So I want to read from that part from Acts chapter 1, verses 21 through 26. And it says, therefore, it is necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they put forward two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, Lord, who know the hearts of all men, show which of these two you have chosen to occupy this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they drew lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. And so we see here that the apostles go through a process that they want to replace Judas. And so we're invited into their process. And so what do we see? We see that one of the things they first do is that they propose two men. Okay? So you can see that their first reasoning from their minds of, oh, if we're going to invite someone to be an apostle with us, maybe these are some of the qualifications we should have. And so they start listing them. Oh, he should have been at the baptism. He should have been here. He should have been there. And so they reason among themselves and arrive to specific qualifications for who should replace Judas. So in some way, through wisdom and reason, they've narrowed their choices, you could say. Next, we see the next part of their process. They prayed. And their prayer, and we get a glimpse of their prayer where their heart as well, where it says, you, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen. And so we see a surrender of their heart that maybe we don't know, maybe some of the apostles, maybe they were split, maybe one half wanted Matthias, another one wanted Barsabbas, Justus. I don't know. But we get a glimpse that even though they may have had their own preferences, they arrive to a place of, God, we're surrendering whatever decision we may have, we're surrendering it to you, to know your heart, to know your will. Because we know that the Lord knows the heart of all. And so they request to show who he has chosen, who God has chosen, praying that he would make his choice known. So we can see that the disciples wanted his guidance. They wanted to know what God was doing, what he was saying. There was a surrender to God, to know his heart, to surrender their preference, to surrender their choice to his choice. And sometimes we may want God's guidance, but not his decision, if that makes sense. That if it doesn't lead to our preference, then we need to arrive to a place of surrender. We need our hearts to be checked. And we see that that's part of the process here. And so maybe you have wrestled through your options and prayed through, and yet still not arrived to a decision. And this is where the disciples found themselves. They've reasoned. They've applied their God-given wisdom. They've even spent some time praying through the decision. And I don't know about you, but I've gone through those processes myself where I've reasoned, I've applied the wisdom God's given me. I've even felt I've gotten to a place of like, God, I can't pray anymore. And I still need to make a decision, especially when those decisions need to be are time sensitive as well. And so we see that this is where the disciples found themselves. And so what do? They casted lots. Okay, I think it's kind of like basically they flipped a coin, okay? And kind of it was an Old Testament practice of just kind of surrendering their own preferences and just surrendering that to God. So their trust wasn't necessarily in the method, but their trust was in that God would answer through the method. So as P. Mary shared a few weeks ago, is that, yeah, we don't do lots here, okay? And I think there's a big reason for that, and I believe it's because there is a better way, okay? Is that we have been provided a better way to know God's will for our lives, whether it be through Scripture and having our minds renewed and transformed by the Holy Spirit. Because if we look at the life of the disciples, is that in terms of Scripture, of what was available to them, it was really the Old Testament. And yet, what were they doing there on that day? They were waiting still for what? The Holy Spirit. And so what do we have in our lives today? You can say we have the full Scripture. We have the Old and New Testament to lead us and guide us in our lives. But even more so, we have the Holy Spirit, which was something that on that day they were still waiting for in their lives. But nowadays is something that the Holy Spirit is someone that we have in our lives to lead us and to guide us. And I like Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And so we can see that through Scripture, that by the renewing of our minds being transformed, that we could actually know what the will of God is in our lives, to know what is good and acceptable and perfect. We have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. As I was saying, the disciples were awaiting the arrival of the Holy Spirit. Here we see that we have the Holy Spirit. That the life with the Holy Spirit was yet to begin for the disciples. That the disciples were still operating from an old, you could say they were operating from an old way of doing things. And so we cannot underestimate the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the impact that the Holy Spirit can have in our lives. And Jesus' description and promise of the Holy Spirit is, "But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me. For he will take from mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. This is why I said that he takes from mine and will disclose it to you." And so if your heart and desire is to glorify God in your decisions, then you will seek the Holy Spirit and invite the Holy Spirit in. Because that is one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, is to glorify the Father and to reveal that to us in our lives. And so I want to suggest that in moments of guidance, we have the promise of the Holy Spirit in our lives to guide us and counsel us. And I think that's a very important truth, because I think sometimes in life we can get busy, and I think we can easily just heavily rely on our wisdom and our reasoning and throw a quick prayer and make a decision. Where here we have, yes, wisdom, understanding is good. Even James says, if you lack wisdom, pray for wisdom. And we should be in prayer. And in that prayer process, we should be asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what the Father wants us to do. And so, what do we do then for our lives? Is to do a heart check. Is my heart surrendered to God to know His heart and to obey? Have I invited the Holy Spirit into my decision process? Or am I still processing only through reason? Am I leaning into listening into what the Holy Spirit has to say? Or have I sidelined the Holy Spirit in my life? And so let's reflect on what our decision process is when we're processing with God. If prayer is involved, and in that, are we inviting the Holy Spirit and willing to wait and hear what He has to say? Because the disciples were still operating from an old way. And sometimes I think it could be tempting when we're making decisions to operate decisions how we used to make decisions. You know, I think when I became a Christian, I realized just how much decisions became a bit harder in terms of just, I wish, like, because before I'd just be, oh, I need to decide something important. Think about it. Okay, let me decide. Now I'm like, okay, I take into account the will of God, of wanting to know what is going to glorify God in this process. And now I'm like, why can't it just be just such? But I think part of that is that God invites us into that relationship to hearing His voice, to develop that intimacy with Him. And so one of my favorite missionaries is George Mueller. And George Mueller operated an orphanage. And in that orphanage, I mean, this guy was incredible. What God has placed in his heart was just for God to meet his needs only through prayer. And so he wouldn't ask for anything. Everything would just be done through prayer. And so one day, they're waiting to serve dinner to the orphanage, to the children in the orphanage, and they don't have any food. And everyone around him is going crazy, and they're asking him, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? He's like, let's pray. And as soon as he was done with the prayer, a truckload of food arrived at that moment. And so I've read his stories, and they're just incredible. They're admiring. They're like, wow, I want to reach that place of prayer and trust. And so he wrote a book on God answering prayers, and he gave four suggestions in terms of how do we get to the place of knowing God's will for our lives. And it's something that I've done in my life, and so I want to share with you. And so he has like a six-step process that he takes his heart through. And I want to read it to you. He says, I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. 9/10 of the trouble with people is just here. 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. When one is truly in this state, it is usually but a little way to the knowledge of what his will is. Number two, having done this, I do not leave the result to feeling or simple impression. If I do so, I make myself liable to great decisions. Thirdly, I seek the will of the Spirit of God through or in connection with the Word of God. The Spirit and the Word of God must be combined. If I look to the Spirit alone without the Word, I lay myself open to great delusion also. If the Holy Ghost guides us at all, He will do it according to the Scriptures and never contrary to them. Next, I take into account providential circumstances. These often plainly indicate God's will in connection with His Word and Spirit. Fifth, I ask God in prayer to reveal His will to me. And lastly, thus through prayer to God, the study of the Word, and reflection, I come to deliberate judgment according to the best of my ability and knowledge. And if my mind is thus at peace and continues so after two or three more petitions, I proceed accordingly in trivial matters and in transaction involving most important issues. I found this method always effective. And I found that to be very helpful for my life whenever I've had to make great decisions in my life, is getting my heart to that place where, okay, God, I know I have my preferences, but getting my heart really to a place where not only that I want to know God's will, but that I also want to do His will as well at the same time. And I like how he says that His will align with Scripture. I remember one of my friends telling me in terms of advice, he's like, I don't pray through things that Scripture has already said. So I never pray about if I should love my neighbor, because Scripture has already said, love your neighbor. I never pray if I should love my enemy. Why? Because God has already, through His Word, said, love your enemy. And so Scripture guides us to His will as well. And so hopefully this can be a guidance for your lives as you seek decisions, whether it be at work, whether it be in ministry, that we reason, that we pray, and that we listen to the Holy Spirit in our lives, and that we arrive to a place of surrender to know His will and to do His will as well. And so I'm going to invite Nate as we go into a time of worship. And maybe there are some decisions that you're needing to make in your life that you're still processing through, that maybe you're at that place where the disciples found themselves, that, God, I've already prayed through this so many times, and I'm still yet at a decision. And so I'm just going to pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to us in our lives to lead us and guide us as we go into a time of worship. Father, we thank You that You've given us Your Word from which we can have guidance to know Your will. Thank You that You've given us Your Holy Spirit as well, that Your Holy Spirit, as You declare, is there to guide us, is there to counsel us, is there to teach us and lead us into all truth. And it's the Holy Spirit that His desire is to glorify You. And so, Father, let that be our heart as we make decisions, that You would be glorified in our decisions, that would be the number one thing that we are looking for in our decision processes. How is this? What can I do to glorify You, Father? And so we just surrender any decisions that we may have to make in our lives to You, Father, that You hear our voices, that You know our hearts, and that You've given us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into our lives. Amen.
Speak, Holy Lord, as we come to You to receive the food of Your holy word. Take Your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in Your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all Your purpose. purity. Cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail, let the truth prevail over unbelief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truth unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. And by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory.
Sing verse 1 one more time.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness. Let the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory.
Yeah, Father, we thank you that you lead us and you guide us, and that you've given us the Holy Spirit, that we are never alone in our decision process, but that you are with us, that you give us hearts to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go through our community prayer. Let's pray for those that have cancer and are going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Those with illness and in need of salvation as well. Let's pray for those that have infirmities. For those in need of jobs in this season. For the Hong Kong government, for the wealth gap, revival, churches, sports services, Shanti, YWAM, Stan Asia, Sons and Daughters, Mother's Choice, the Hong Kong Korean Church, students, domestic helpers, families in need, and just so many other needs and things happening in our city. Staff. pray for those in hospitality. Sound and AV team as well. That are gathering today. Let's pray for those that are pregnant and trying to get pregnant as well in this season. Father, we thank you and we surrender everything to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Have a great day. You can continue praying if you'd like. See you guys tomorrow.